It's Tuesday the 7th of July 2015. I'm in Campbellton in New South Wales, and it's another fantastic New South Wales morning. The sun's up at 8 o'clock and the skies are blue, and it's not quite so cold today. I was out again at 6:30 this morning for a run. There's a 5-mile round route that I can do here, which I normally do anti-clockwise. This morning I decided to do it clockwise, and I think that's the first time I've done it. The reason being, there's a hill of about a mile long if you start off, which is better to finish on coming down than to start on going up. But I did that today, and it's amazing how different roads look when you're going in the opposite direction. And I managed to get lost, realised I wasn't running on pavements anymore, I was running on grass, and there are pavements on the route all the way around, so I had to retrace my steps up a hill and find my way and get back on track. But obviously not too much of a problem, I made it, and it really is a glorious morning. So today I'm going up to the campus, and at 10 o'clock I'm going to do a workshop on the use of social media and developing a personal social media strategy. I'm looking forward to this. This is something I feel I've learned quite a great deal about over recent years. I'm by no means an expert, but I do enjoy it very much. And then carry on with some of my own work if I can. I think I've got a couple of consultations, but they won't probably take very long. And I've just been in correspondence with Wiley, with my publishers at the Journal of Advanced Nursing, and the publisher I normally work with, Rosie Hutchinson, is moving on to another suite of journals, and a lady called Danielle Hollings is taking over. And I worked with Danielle years ago when she was the editorial assistant for the Journal of Clinical Nursing, so I know her very well, and so starting to correspond with her about things on the journal. That's my Garmin watch connecting to the PC here. I download my runs onto the PC and put them on my Garmin web page, and then I can see them on my iPad. So there's a few things going to be moving there. So I'll carry on today also, if I've got time, working on the author guidelines for the Journal of Advanced Nursing. I'm pretty well through them now, but I'm by no means on to the most complicated and difficult part. Just before I came over, I got an iPhone 6. Just to compound the Apple problems I was talking about yesterday. And I'm really pleased with the phone. It's so light I keep forgetting it's in my pocket until I sit down, and then it's slightly bigger and then I do remember, so it's slightly awkward from that point of view, but it really works exceedingly well. But this phone came about as the result of a phone call from Carphone Warehouse, who are my suppliers, and I'd wanted a new phone anyway. My other phone wasn't working, so I agreed to take this one. And when it came, I noticed it was described as a refurb phone that didn't come in an Apple box. It just came in a sort of separate Carphone Warehouse type of box. So I realised it must be refurbished. Certainly I got it for nothing on my contract. Phone's in perfect condition, works perfectly well. I think what they do with the refurb phones is take the software out and put it into a new casing, because the casings cost next to nothing. And everything's okay except for two things. One, when I used Siri, it said hello Ian, and as you'll know, my name's Roger, so that was easily corrected. I just had to say call me Roger, and it does now, but clearly the previous owner was called Ian, and for some reason that hadn't been wiped off the phone. And I'm just not sure if returning it to factory settings would do that, but now I'm even more annoyed, because I use Find My Friends just for a bit of fun now and again with friends who've got iPhones, and you can link to them and you can see where they are in the world. And my initials, which should be RW, are coming up as IJ, I being Ian and J being the initial of the surname of the person who had the phone before me. So I just can't find any way of changing that. So I'm going to go back to the Carphone Warehouse and ask them if they can do it for me. It's a minor point, but it's just irritating. An irritating reminder. As I say, it's not the actual phone that someone had before, it's just the guts of it, as it were, the software inside, the hardware inside it that they've used. But this has obviously left a trace. It's just a little bit annoying. That's my second full day on the Campbellton campus of the University of Western Sydney over. Two more days to go, and today I gave a session in the morning on social media, and this was teleconferenced out to the other campuses, including the Centre for Applied Nursing Research in Liverpool, which is based in the Liverpool Hospital. And today I also met the new director, Deborah Parker, whose CV I hadn't seen before, but I've seen it now on the web, and she seems to have a lot of common interests, and she was going to the UK soon. Her interest is end-of-life care, and she's going to Lancaster, which is a big centre for end-of-life care, and she knows many of the people in the UK who work in end-of-life care that I also know. So that was a good contact to make. I'm not actually going to meet with her this time, sort of formally, but hopefully next time I come I will be able to catch up with her. And then in the afternoon I had a session for ASPROs, that's Associate Professors, and just met with a few of them to talk about promotions and career prospects and anything else that they wanted to talk about. I'm not sure how much help I was really, but it is always interesting to see perspectives in other universities and especially in other countries. And after my talk this morning I had a half an hour or so with Caleb Ferguson, who's a Scotsman who's out here. He's been here for a while, and he was one of the first people I ever saw giving a talk on using social media, and he's a very keen tweeter and user of social media, and I learned a lot from him in that session, and I felt a bit embarrassed to be doing a session with Caleb present this morning listening to me, but on the other hand I was able to use a couple of his slides and to acknowledge them. And it's always interesting to meet somebody who's just got some new and very different ideas. Otherwise, today I had time to catch up on some of my own work, and I'm pleased to say that I finished off the author guidelines for the Journal of Advanced Nursing, or at least I finished off revising them. They still got to go to the management team at Wiley and then round the editors for final approval. But what I've been doing essentially is building in as many of the Equator guidelines as I could. The Equator guidelines are the Equator page, if you Google it, Equator, E-Q-U-A-T-O-R. Put in Equator standards and that will take you to all of the publishing standards like Consort and Prisma and many other ones, and we really want to link as many of these to our types of papers as possible. So I was just having a look at these guidelines and trying to do precisely that, and also to cut down to some extent on the volume of what we on the web page under guidance, and instead simply to refer people to the guidance. So it'll be interesting to see if the editors perceive a drop in quality or standards of papers now that we don't give precise guidelines on the web page, and that we refer people to these guidelines and leave it up to them. So we'll see. But there's no shortage of guidance out there on how to present various kinds of papers, including qualitative papers and protocols for randomised controlled trials and for systematic reviews. And before I go to sleep at nights, I've been reading an excellent book by Gina Whisker called Getting Published. It's published by Palgrave, and it's a really good book by an experienced writer, not in nursing, which I always think is useful to see a perspective outside. And I've just been enjoying having a bit of flick through that. I've started at the beginning and then jumped forward to the bit on blogging, which is actually very good. And she writes very much from her own experience. I don't agree or disagree with anything she says. I would say that some of my own writing experiences are a bit different from that. But I do think it's all very useful advice and very well written indeed. I really like reading books about writing. It does seem like a bit of a short circuit or a self-perpetuating industry to write books about how to write, but it's really necessary because people need the confidence to just to get down and to do it and to know that they can do it. And at the end of the day today I met with a former PhD student, not one of my former PhD students, I mean someone who had been doing the PhD here but who's a member of staff, who was asking me about getting published from her PhD thesis, and I'd met her last year just when she'd immediately finished and given her some advice then, and she'd made a start to planning this out. But my advice always with writing from PhD thesis, which are very big on the whole, is not to try and pull everything out of the PhD thesis and get it into a paper, but to put it to one side and plan out a number of papers, maybe two or three, with very clear, distinct areas, sit down and start writing them without any reference to the thesis and get the structure of the paper and the bulk of it ready, because you know what you're going to say, you know what you want to say, you've done the work, and then turn to the thesis to get the data and any quotes and references you want. Otherwise, you sit there with the thesis, looking at it, kind of determined to get every quote into the next thing you're going to write, and that's a very inhibiting way to write. I would actually advise not even having the thesis handy at the initial stages, but simply to get on writing and then to edit it and flesh it out, as they say, later. So I'll be interested to see when I come back next year, which I hope I do, if this particular person has made any progress with writing these papers.